Tonight. Thank you. Book of Ruth, chapter number 2. We're in Acts chapter 2 this morning. The book of Ruth, chapter 2 tonight. We'll begin in verse 1 here for the Lord to help us. I'd like to preach to you what's on my heart, and I'd like to help somebody here in this service. Amen. That is the purpose of the preaching, amen, of the Word of God, is that we can receive strength and grow in the Lord. And I believe somebody can leave tonight better than they came. Amen. And I just covet your prayers that God would help us. Ruth chapter 2, verse 1. The Bible said, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Let's skip down to verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Verse 15. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until even, beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She took it up and went into the city. Her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. She showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. We'll stop there. Ask the Lord to help us here tonight, if you would. Father, we need your anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage. Fall upon us here tonight. God, I pray that you would anoint hearts to receive. God, I pray that your word would find the lodging place it needs tonight. Help us, oh God, to receive of you. Move around these altars. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. Praise the Lord. I want to preach here for a few minutes tonight. Notice in verse number 2, amen, the Bible said that Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. That's the operative word I'm looking at tonight. Grace. Amen. Verse 10, she bowed herself to the ground and said unto Boaz, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Aren't you glad for grace tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to preach if the Lord would help me on the open hand of grace. the open hand of grace. In the Old Testament, under the Mosaic law, gleaning was one of the rights of the people. The farmer was forbidden of God to reap the corners of his field. If he, by some oversight, mistakenly was to leave a bundle of wheat in the field, he was not allowed to go back and pick it up. It was to be left for the widows, the fatherless, the poor, and the lamb. The same thing was true of the orchards and the vineyards. God gave provision for those that would find themselves in need. In this second chapter of Ruth, we clearly see this law of gleaning being fulfilled. The things that were recorded in this chapter, they're written for our learning, written for our understanding of the ways of God, for our admonition. Amen. I believe that the book of Ruth was written so that, amen, the Spirit of God could show us the goodness and the grace and the glory of the God that we're serving here tonight. Amen. He is our kinsman redeemer. We have been blessed of God. We're blessed people tonight. Hallelujah. More blessed than we understand. Amen. More blessed than we can comprehend. During the great Welsh revival of many years ago, one of the hymns that was sung at just about every service was, amen, that familiar chorus, count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God had done. Amen. You can look around here tonight and see God's done some things in some people's lives. God has worked miracles. Amen. In home after home and family after family. Praise God. I believe that when Ruth came home the day, amen, that the scripture details here, amen, in chapter 2, she returned home counting the blessings of God that had come to her life. Amen. She had left home with a worry. How am I going to make it? How am I going to survive? How am I going to live? Amen. In this foreign land, in the land of my mother-in-law, Naomi's people, how am I going to make it? And she left home with a worry. Amen. She left home worrying. But when she returned home that afternoon, she returned home worshiping because she had found that the God of her mother-in-law was a God of grace. He was a God of provision. He was a God of unlimited supply. And he's still that God tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. She went into that field hoping for a little. But she left that field happy with a lot. Praise God. Amen. She had started that day with an empty stomach, but I tell you, at the end of it, she had a full soul. Hallelujah. God had worked for her. Amen. I've heard people say, and maybe even we have said, all I want is crumbs from the master's table. Amen. Wouldn't that be wonderful, just a crumb? But you know, the kind of God that we serve, amen, is bigger than that. He'll give us more than a crumb. Amen. He'll give us the whole loaf. Amen. He has an open hand of grace extended unto us. What did the psalmist say? Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Brother, that's one load I can carry. That's one load we don't want to complain about. It's the benefits and the blessings of serving God. Hallelujah. Amen. In Deuteronomy chapter 28 in verse 2, he said, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Amen. We have been overtaken with the blessings of the Lord. Oh, yes. Amen. What we must do is count our blessings. See what God hath done. Amen. Naomi said, blessed be the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and the dead. What a great God we serve tonight. He enriches us with these blessings. Amen. Our text and the context here describes for us these blessings that Ruth experienced. Amen. It would have been a wonderful day in Ruth's life. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, if she could turn back the clock and change some bad experiences that had happened. But she couldn't do that. But she found grace for a new day. She found grace for a new time in her life. Hallelujah. She had been loaded with benefits. I'm telling you, these handfuls of purpose, they went beyond the requirements of the law. They went beyond the requirements of that Mosaic law that the Bible spoke about. Hallelujah. It's just like the Lord. But a man is lame and they let him down through the roof to be healed. And because he's a cripple and he leaves with his sins being forgiven. I tell you, God will do more than you ever expected. But he's a God that can do beyond what we can ever ask or even think. But just try it and prove it, and you'll find it to be so. Hallelujah. He said, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. It is the will of God to bless his people. These blessings and these benefits that we've all received tonight from the open hand of grace that God's extended unto us, they have a purpose. It's not just for us to get spoiled and become spoiled children of God. And say, look at what I have. Look at who I am. Look at what I have received. But the blessings of God come. That our apprehension of him, that our understanding of him, that our knowledge of him, I feel like preaching here tonight, might increase. That we'll have a deeper walk. That our heart will grow in the knowledge of God through all that happened in Ruth chapter 2. Ruth was growing in the knowledge of her new God. She was learning what God could do, how he could provide, how he could supply, how he could meet the need. By God's blessings in our life, brother and sister, we learn to trust in him. We learn that his ways, are meaningful. We learn how powerful his work for us is. Amen. Let me remind you of what has happened, and notice what the blessings of that day taught Ruth about God. She learned something about the providence of God. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now, her hap was not happenstance. It was not coincidence. It was providence, praise God. They tell me that in the Hebrew, there's not even a word. In the Hebrew language for our English word coincidence. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a purpose. He's already worked things out for our lives. All we've got to do is just get in his will. Just get in the channel of operation where he do what he desires for us to be and let him work. She was learning that God was in control. She didn't just happen into a field, but God prepared a place in that field for Ruth. He prepared a place in that field for her. I tell you, she was learning God had a plan. He was ordering things. He was overruling her life to bring that plan to pass. I'll tell you, often the blessings we experience from the Lord, they serve as a teacher. God's in charge, letting us know he's on the throne, letting us know down to the smallest detail he's concerned about our lives. He's concerned about a transmission. He's concerned about whatever it is that concerns us. I remember hearing Sister Smart tell, how that she prayed for a needle that she lost, and God showed her. Amen. Where she found it, praise God. Amen. She discovered it. Hallelujah. God is concerned about us. Amen. Many of you know that for a few years my mother was a widow. Amen. During those years and some difficult times, Brother Jeff. Amen. My mother's told the story of how she went into a Bible bookstore one day and she had some needs that she needed God to meet, and she didn't have the money. She walked into the bookstore buying some stuff for a Sunday school class, and the man looked at her. Amen. Pulled a paper sack out from under the counter, laid it on the counter. Amen. Said, "I don't know who you are, and you don't know who I am, but," he said, "several weeks ago God began to deal with me that every day at the end of the day I would take a 10 or a 20 and put it in this paper sack." He said, "I knew it was for somebody, but I didn't know who it was for." He said, "But when you walked in, amen, the Lord let me know that you were the one that it was for. And down to the penny, it was the exact amount, Brother Slogan, that she needed." I tell you, God has an open hand of grace. He's a supplier of every need. He can do more than you can understand. Hallelujah. Amen. Our apprehension of God, our understanding of God. I tell you, when you have miracles like that happen in your life, you learn to trust Him more. Amen. Your faith begins to build. And that's what God was teaching Ruth. Amen. He's not a closed-fisted God, but He's got an open hand, a mercy and supply and grace for us tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. She learned something about God's provision. Boaz said unto her, "At mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Notice in verse 17, "So she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley." Amen. By the middle of the day, she had a belly full. By the end of the day, she had a basket full. Hallelujah. Oh, plenty. More than enough. He's a God of more than enough. Amen. I remember Brother Slogan preaching a message on giant crumbs. Amen. I said him whole loaves I was talking about. Praise God. His provision. Amen. Can even go beyond the need. I like it when God over answers prayer. Don't you? Woo! Hallelujah. Amen. He don't just answer prayer. He'll over answer it. Amen. Hallelujah. He'll not just give you enough to survive the day, but He'll give you enough to go into the oil business. He'll give you enough. Amen. To last. I tell you, brother and sister, the God we serve is a God of provision. Hallelujah. Oh, David said, "I've been young, now I'm old." Amen. Oh, but let me tell you something. "I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Hallelujah. Even it might be down to the last moment, but He's a provider. And oh, His blessings will teach us that. Amen. They'll not only, amen, give us an increase of our understanding of God, but brother, they ought to bring an inspiration, amen, to thankfulness and appreciation for what He has done. I tell you, I don't know if there's anybody in this house that's been as blessed as I've been, but I tell you, I believe we all owe Him a praise and a thankfulness for how He's blessed us. She fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, said unto him, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? God, why have you blessed me like you have?" Hallelujah. I tell you, when we look around in the world and we see where we could be, it ought to inspire our appreciation of what we know in God. Ah, hallelujah. I was telling Brother Junior, I've dealt with them. Amen. They didn't even know who Adam and Eve was. Amen. They look at you. Who's that? Amen. Trying to deal with them. Talk to them about the Lord. I tell you, we're blessed in our knowledge of God here tonight. We're blessed in what we have witnessed. We're blessed in what we have seen. Amen. He has taken knowledge of us. And these blessings that Ruth experienced moved her. Amen. To humility and gratitude. And I tell you, when your heart becomes overwhelmed, amen, with the goodness and grace of God, amen, your heart will also overflow with thankfulness when it really dawns and you really understand what God has done in your life, in your heart. I believe the goodness of God ought to inspire the thankfulness of man. It ought to inspire thankfulness. Praise God. Oh, somebody said a Christian is somebody that don't have to consult their checkbook or their bank account and see how wealthy they are. We're living in a wealthy place, aren't we? Hallelujah. Oh, the grace of God upon our lives. Amen. The very breath you're breathing tonight comes from Him. The very strength in your body comes from Him. Hey, hallelujah. These blessings we're in experiencing and enjoying tonight, they've come from Him. I like that story about that little girl. Amen. That went to eat at some friend's house. And amen, her daddy was a radio DJ. And they said, "We want you to pray over the food." Amen. All she knew is what she knew. And so she began to pray. This food, friends, is coming to you courtesy of Almighty God. I tell you, amen, I don't know, amen, we may not all think in the same way. We may not all use the same words. But everything we have tonight has come as courtesy from the Lord. Hallelujah. Give Him a praise. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Hallelujah. We've been blessed to be a blessing. We've received all of this so that we can tell somebody else about this grace we have received. Hallelujah. He has entrusted us with the blessing of truth. He has entrusted us with these benefits of serving Him. You see, Ruth's got a whole bunch of barley she's coming home with. An ephah of barley. Amen. An ephah was about 8 gallons. Amen. Of barley that she was coming home with. She has all this barley. What's she going to do with it? She's going to share it. Hallelujah. Ah, she knows that back home there's a Naomi who's had some bitter experiences. She knows that back home there's a woman that's been through some trials, and she needs to be reminded that the God of Bethlehem, the God of the house of bread, is still on the throne. And so she comes back home, entrusted with these blessings that she has received. Amen. I can just see her. She's heading home. Amen. And folks there, amen, in Israel, they're looking. They're watching. In that Ruth, amen, in that girl, that the girl that came with Naomi, amen, back from Moab. And they said, "Yes, that's her." Amen. Well, what is she carrying? She's been gleaning in Boaz's field today. Woo! Amen. Others had seen she had been blessed. Others had seen she had been gleaning in the field. I tell you, this world needs to see somebody that's been in the field of God, that's been in the field of our kinsman redeemer. Amen. Let them see it. Let them know you've been saved. Let them know you've been touched of Him. Oh, glory. She took it up, went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She brought forth and gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. Amen. Naomi saw this, and she said, Where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. Ruth, where'd you get all this barley? He bet somebody's took knowledge. That word knowledge conveys the idea of paying attention to. He been to acknowledge, to notice. Somebody noticed Ruth was in need. Aren't you glad for the day God noticed you as a needy soul? You were a needy heart. He been, somebody took knowledge of you, Ruth. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. Naomi could see that Ruth had been blessed. I tell you, there's a scripture in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You can quote it. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people. That you can just enjoy it all. Just keep it to yourself. No, he said that ye should show forth the praises of him who had called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. I don't believe Ruth came home. He'd been trying to hide that deal of barley. No, brother. Amen. It was very evident that she had been gleaning in the field. It was very evident. Amen. That she had found a place of provision. Amen. Shoot forth. Be an advertisement. Be a billboard for what God's done in your life. Amen. Naomi said, where you been gleaning? Ruth didn't answer that question the way that Naomi asked it. Because for Ruth, it wasn't just where she had been, but whose field she had gleaned in. Hallelujah. Amen. The question is not where, but the question is whom. Her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? And where wroughtest thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of thee. And she shewed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought. With whom she had wrought. And said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. All of the house of God, don't you? I do. I do. I love the singing. I love the testimonies. I love the preaching. I think we have a generation that's in love with church. Come on. But there's a danger to that as well. Because after a while we can become to get to the place to where we're in love with the singing. And in love with all of this. In love with the going through the motions. In love with the form. Even in love with the house of God. When what we really need to be is in love with the God of the house. Are you here with me tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, we can have a generation that could really fall in love with the God of the house. Not just the field, but the Boaz who owns the field. Brother, that's the secret. I tell you what happened to me a long time ago. As just a little boy, I fell in love with the God of the house. And because of that, when things get rough in the house of God, I know the God of the house will bring us through. Hallelujah. When you're in love with the God of the house, church trouble can't drive you away. When you're in love with the God of the house, when somebody in the house of God does you wrong, you won't leave him. You'll say, hey, I didn't just find a field to glean in. Amen. I found somebody who could be the love of my life, who is my kinsman redeemer, who could change me. I found somebody that can provide everything that I'll ever need. Oh, hallelujah. We need to fall in love with him, don't we? Praise God. She shared it with Naomi. Naomi began to enjoy the blessings of God. The Bible said that Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. You're going to have an effect on somebody. You're going to touch them for good, or you're going to touch them for bad. Amen. You see, we don't have a choice whether or not to be a light. We're serving the Lord. Amen. We'll either be a light under a bushel or we'll be a light that folks can see. Amen. But one way or the other, we're going to be held responsible. It's not just, well, I just chose to go on and not talk to that soul. Amen. We're going to be held accountable. Oh, let the barley come in. But let's share the barley with somebody else and let them experience it as well. I tell you, the Dead Sea, that salty sea, amen, it has 6 main inlets, but it has no outlets. Amen, and that's why, amen, the value's not there like other bodies of water. I tell you, it pours in from the right and it pours in from the left into our lives. But let there be out of our belly a river of living water flowing that somebody else can be blessed of God. Benjamin Franklin once received a letter thanking him for his service. He'd done something for someone. He replied, "As to the kindness you mentioned, I wish I could have been more of service to you than I've been." He said, "But if I had, the only thanks that I should desire or that you would always be ready to serve any other person that may need your assistance." He said, "As for my own part," he said, "when I'm employed in the service of others and doing things to help other people, I do not look upon myself as conferring favors, but paying debts." That's why I got to share the barley with somebody else. I'm just paying a debt. Woo! That's why I'm trying to preach to our generation, because there was a generation that preached to me and gave me the word of God. And brother, I want to share it back. Amen. We're not conferring favors. We're just paying debts. Amen. Hallelujah. We're paying debts when we raise our hands and give him glory. We're paying debts when we tell somebody else of what he can do for them. We're just paying back a little bit of what we have received. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Amen. I tell you, Ruth was an encouragement to Naomi's weak faith. Amen. She had returned and called herself Mara, bitter. She said, "God brought me home empty." Empty. Hallelujah. But the barley encouraged her faith that God could still provide, that God could still make a way. Amen. I'm going to close here in just a few minutes. Amen. Her weak faith was strengthened by the blessings that she observed and obtained from Ruth. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I tell you tonight, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Is that the same woman that said, "I come home empty"? Is that the same woman that said, "I'm bitter"? Is that the same woman, amen, that was talking about how bad it was in her life? But now she's a worshiping. Now she's a praising him. Now she's saying, "Blessed be he of the Lord." Amen. I tell you what happened to her. She realized God's still on the throne. I just come to tell somebody tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But there's an open hand of grace and provision that's extended unto you. And he is still on the throne tonight. Stay with me if you would. Stay with me. Somebody get us a song. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Glory. Glory. He's still a healer. He's still a savior. He's still a provider. Glory. Hallelujah. I tell you, I could stand up here the rest of the night and not just tell you the experiences of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa, but I can tell you my own experiences, how God has provided. He put tires on the car, provided in ways that I never dreamed. I'm going to tell you, He's still the God that is able. He meant to provide a field to glean in. There's a field here tonight, and there's some barley. I believe there's a handful of purpose right here for somebody tonight. Amen. I felt the witness of the Lord a while ago that there's somebody here. Amen. You're going through it, and God wants to be a provider for you. Hallelujah. He's got your address. He knows your number, knows where you're at. Hallelujah. I tell you, I believe tonight that it will come before Him with an open heart, faith and trust. Praise God. It wasn't enough that Boaz provided a field. It wasn't enough. Amen. That he said, let some handfuls of purpose fall in the field for Ruth. She had to do some gleaning. I said she had to do some gleaning. And that's all God's asking you to do tonight. Is just come and do a little gleaning in the field. I'm looking for somebody that says, preacher, I've got a need I need God to meet. I've got a sickness I need God to heal. I got some sins I need God to forgive. It don't matter what it is tonight. You could put a label on it, but it don't matter with God. God is able to fix it right here tonight. If we'll come and glean, bring your faith, bring your hope, bring your trust. Bring it to Jesus tonight. He is our kinsman redeemer. He is our help. Hallelujah. Oh, as they play and sing tonight, I pray you'd come find help. Find help. Find provision. These altars. Amen. Say, God, I need encouragement. I need strength. I need to fall in love with you all over again. How long's it been since you really done some gleaning? How long's it been since you rolled in the floor under the power of the Holy Ghost? How long's it been since you really got under the spell of glory and let it flow on you and through you? Why don't you come glean here a little bit tonight? Hallelujah. Ah, praise God. I believe we'll just wait on Him a little bit here tonight. He'll help us. You know what my Bible said? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, He fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and them that have no mind, He increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Why don't you come wait on Him a little bit here tonight? He'll give you strength. He'll give you encouragement. I believe somebody can leave with some barley. Woo! I believe somebody can go home with some barley. Say, God's blessed me. God's helped me tonight. What do you need? What do you need? Let's come to these altars. Ah, let's glean a little while. Come on, hallelujah. Everyone that will, come on, let's glean in the field of God tonight. Oh, hallelujah. Wait on Him a little bit. Serve Him. Worship Him. Oh, believe Him. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Oh, He's got an open hand of grace for you tonight. Oh, He's come to take knowledge of you. Oh, He's taken notice of your trouble. He's taken notice of your problems.
Must fire.
Glory.
It always makes a difference when Jesus passes.
Praise God, praise God.
They brought the blind to Jesus' side. Touch me now, I pray. So Jesus led him down out of town, and he touched his eyes that day. He said, I see men as trees walking. So Jesus touched him once again, and his blinded eyes received their sight when Jesus passes by. Oh, it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. The devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light. Darkening clouds must fly. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. They took him to the tomb that day. Lazarus was his name. His loved ones wept, for death had crept into their lives with pain. Oh, but someone sent a message. Soon Jesus did reply. Even death could have no power when Jesus passed by. Oh, it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Oh, the devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light. The darkening clouds must fly. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. They took him to the tomb that day. Lazarus was his name. His loved ones wept, for death had crept into their lives with pain. Oh, but someone sent a message. Soon Jesus did reply. Even death could have no power when Jesus passes by. Oh, it always makes a difference when Jesus passes by. Oh, the devil trembles, the enemy flees when Jesus comes on the scene. He always shines a ray of light. Darkening clouds must fly. It always makes a difference when Jesus passes by.
Probably D.
I'm telling you, he can, and I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. I'm telling you, he can, and I know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes. Oh, no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and rose to live again. Now, who can speak to a cripple? May stand right up and walk. Who can cause a deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? And who can cool a fever brow by saying, let it be? can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands with a tear running from his eye. With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, no fear, 'cause the one who brought me through the storm's gonna lead me out of here. I'm telling you, he can. You know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes tumbling in. Oh, no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Who can speak to a crippled, stand right up and walk? Who can cause a deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? Who can cool a fever around by saying, let it be? A little bit of clay touching it away, blinded eyes can see. Telling you he can. Right on your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, no one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose. About to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands with the tear running from his eye. With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, no fear, 'cause the one who brought me through the storm's gonna lead me out of here. Telling you he can. Know that by your side when the world comes crumbling in. No ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. I'm telling you he can. And to know that he'll stand by your side when the world comes crumbling in. No one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. I'm telling you he know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. No one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. He'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. Oh, never done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Who can speak to a crippled and stand right up and walk? Who can cause a deaf and dumb to hear and start to talk? Who can feel a coup say, let it be? Just a little bit of clay touch him in a way a blinded eyes can see. I'm telling you he can. Know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes tumbling in. No one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose to live again. Who can cause an old man that's about to say goodbye to lift up both of those dying hands with a tear running from his eye? With his loved ones gathered all around him, he can smile and say, don't fear, 'cause the one who brought me through the storm gonna lead me out of here. Telling you he can. And to know that he'll stand right by your side when the world comes crumbling in. No one ever done what he's done. He laid down his life and he rose. He can. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his glory, of his precious blood's atoning. I repented of my sin and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, he's my Savior forever. Sought me and he bought me with his redeeming one. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. Plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing powers revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and he caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. Oh, and somehow my Jesus